Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Fredericksburg SPCA this morning, and we have some great information to talk to you about. Von Young is here, Ashley Lindbeck, and Katie Bates, and we'll get to know everyone as we go along this morning. Von, we'll start with you, since you're our returning SPCA person, and good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Lots going on at the SPCA.
Always. You know it.
But I wonder, we're going to start out and focus on really something that's kind of a problem, and it just deals with the number of animals and the economy and just kind of a day-to-day thing that you all are dealing with.
Yeah, we have so many facets of our organization, which we love to come talk to you about, but there really is something that is happening, behind the scenes. We have tons of hardworking individuals, but one of the main things we want to talk about is, you know, what happens within our community has a direct impact on what happens with animals.
Right, and one of the things, this has been kind of an ongoing problem in recent years, just because of the economy and all. This to me is one of the sad things that you all have to deal with is when someone has to bring an animal in because they can't care for it.
Right. And Ashley Lindbeck, who I have next to me, is our director of animal care, and she'll speak in a little bit about where we get our animals and why, because she handles all the intake, all the transfers, everything like that. But really, right now, what we're seeing is a shortage of affordable housing, which has, you know, pet-friendly rentals with high pet deposits, unfair breed or size restrictions, and it's really resulted in a dire situation for animals across the country. So, you know, the Fredericksburg SPCA is just one of the shelters. There's shelter, every shelter and rescue right now, it's summer, so babies, all the puppies, all the kittens.
Sure.
Just compounded with the scarcity of housing for families is something that's causing quite a disastrous situation just across the nation. So, we keep very close statistics of all of this. We're a part of the Shelter Animals Count, which is a national database. And they did a statistic from quarter one comparison in 2021, quarter one comparison in 2023. And community intakes have increased by 3%, but outcomes have not kept up. So there's more animals coming in than are being adopted. And they also not to be a downer, but non-live outcomes for dogs have nearly doubled in that time. So this is a national crisis that animal shelters are experiencing right now. And, you know, it really has this effect. It's really the affordable housing right now that we're seeing animals coming from.
And you don't think about that. We talk about that, but you don't think of the animal component to this.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, thinks that this national trend is because of pandemic. Oh, well, the pandemic puppies are coming back. That's not what we're seeing, and that's not what the statistics are across the nation. So it really is affordable housing. And, you know, we've seen it firsthand. I mean, I myself have looked for a rental last year, and it took me, you know, 5 months to find a rental that would accept me and my two very well-behaved angel baby cats.
Well, of course.
Who are fully vetted, and I take care of them.
Of course.
So, in order to get accepted into a rental place, it took months and months. It took me almost $5,000 in deposits, and my rent is now almost $1,000 extra a month.
Because of those cats.
Because of the cats, just to keep my cats. And so I myself have been personally affected by this, and I work in animal welfare.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can attest to how angel baby my cats are, right? But you can't tell a landlord, you know, their place isn't going to get destroyed. So they want the deposits. And it really is just, it's a compounding issue. And the Fredericksburg SPCA doesn't have the answer to affordable housing, but we do offer other resources, you know, where pet ownership might be a financial burden. We offer things that, next to me, Katie Bates, the coordinator of our People Empowered Through Support program, will talk about.
Well, and again, in one of the things when we talk about this, and you talk about your own situation, Vaughn, a lot of people, I'm sure, you've got your pets, and you get this catches you by surprise. You find a place, you think this is where I want to go, and then all of a sudden, some of these added expenses get put on.
Absolutely, yeah. And there are extra things like breed restrictions or size restrictions we're seeing now. And it just, I mean, you'll hear us say all the time, you know, we can't breed label if we don't have DNA paperwork. And that's because, you know, we've done DNA testing on animals, and what they look like isn't what they are, and judging them by what they look like is unfair because looks don't equal behavior. So, you know, we had a couple dogs come from Puerto Rico who were these tiny little skinny things, looked like almost greyhound hound mixes.
Yeah.
And they ended up being like Dalmatian mm-hmm. mixes. It was really strange. So, you know, you just looks don't equal behavior. So when we have these unfair breed labeling practices kind of written within leasing companies, mm-hmm. It's very difficult for people to find affordable rentals, you know. So, yeah, it's a problem.
we're gonna take a break in just a second, but real quick, one of the things, and we'll come back to this, I'm sure, a number of times as we talk this morning. But there's always a need for fosters, and that's one of the ways if people can foster some animals, it takes some of the pressure off of just a capacity situation,
right,
for you guys.
Yeah, and we have something called the capacity for care. So that is not just space within our shelter. That is our resources. So how much medical funding do we have? How much food do we have? So our capacity for care is 250 animals, and we're currently at 261. So we're over our capacity for care, and we're lucky because a good portion of those animals, about 60%, is in foster care with our community because they're babies. There are 150 of them are kittens. So they're in our foster community right now, and we are very thankful for that.
This is kitten season, isn't it?
It is kitten season. It is everything season right now, Ted.
Fredericksburg SPCA, our focus this morning. Quick break. We'll be back and talk more. Von Young is here. Ashley Lindbeck and Katie Bates here in the studio. And we will talk more on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is the Fredericksburg SPCA this morning. Katie Bates, Ashley Lindbeck, and Von Young here this morning. Just occurred to me, we need to meet everyone here. We know you, Von, because you come in frequently. But Ashley, this is your first time here. Talk about what got you involved with the Fredericksburg SPCA.
I've been at the SPCA for about 5 years now. I started as an animal care technician, so all the way at the bottom. I was then the intake and transfer coordinator, and I originally ran the People Empowered Through Support program in the past. But for the past couple of years, I've been the director of animal care, and now I oversee the intake coordinator, all of our partner transports, as well as all of the shelter animals and operations pertaining to that animal care.
Wow, you see a lot of stuff then. I mean, any animal that comes in, that it sounds like you've petted it or done something.
At least seen it or heard it scream at me. Yep.
Yeah.
Probably hissed at me.
which must be really interesting in the course of a day.
It is. It's never the same.
and just what you do, I mean, to have seen it from the, you know, like you say, if starting at the bottom and moving up, and in a lot of ways that's kind of cool that you've seen all aspects of everything.
Yeah, it certainly gives me a very different perspective than most people.
Katie, what got you involved with the SPCA?
I was just looking for something to do after I left my job of 16 years, and I had a friend that ran the pets program, and I was looking for part-time work, and then ended up kind of becoming the coordinator full-time, and I love animals, and came from another nonprofit, so kind of continued in that field.
Good. Well, we're gonna jump into a whole lot of things and in talk about a whole lot of things. Ashley, as far as intake and in transfer, talk about what you do.
Well, we get a lot of requests every day from pet owners and other facilities across Virginia, even other state lines, and all of them are with desperate pleas for intake to prevent their euthanasia. In May, we got an intake. We got intake requests from the public looking to surrender their animals, and in May to June, it doubled, and then it's showing absolutely no signs of slowing down. And
wow.
That's kind of scary.
I was going to say, that's a problem,
it's
I would
really
think.
It's really scary. Like, tying back to the housing crisis, 50% of our intake requests were because of living situation. People are moving, or they can't keep their animals, or they can't take their animals to a new place.
It's the most heartbreaking thing when you think about having to surrender an animal.
Yeah, surrendering the animal is incredibly heartbreaking for both the animal and the person, and then us at the shelter when we see all of that.
Yeah.
But when they come to us, they are in a safe place, and I'd rather they be there than anywhere else.
Yeah, that's that. I'm sure, but boy, those kind of numbers.
Yep.
And you've got limited space, Vaughn, and I mean that as we said. This is a real situation.
Yeah, and so like Ashley said, we don't just, you know, we're here for our community. We're trying to divert those surrenders when owners can keep their animals by giving them some resources. So like Katie will talk about the People Empowered Through Support program and what that entails. And, you know, we have different programs that we've put into place to help. It's called Intake Divergence. So we try and give our community a bit of resources so they don't have to surrender, because we don't want your animal. We really don't.
No, I don't. I don't want your cat. I don't want your dog.
Yeah.
They're very cute. I'm sure they're the greatest thing in the world. I don't want them.
Yeah.
I have plenty in my own house. I am sure my daughter's cackling right now, but like, I don't want your cat. I want you to keep your cat because that's best for you and the animal.
Right. These people already love their animals, and we want to prevent a heartbreaking situation. And a lot of the times when they're coming to us, it's a temporary financial situation. So we don't want a temporary situation to permanently break up a family.
Yep.
Yeah.
But like Ashley said, you know, we are getting our owner requests. 56% of that has come from living situations. However, Ashley also gets requests from municipal shelters across Virginia. So we do, you know, we're committed to helping create a No-Kill Virginia 2025. So Ashley goes through every request that she gets, and she has to, you know, schedule all of these things in to come into our building and balance it with our capacity for care. And so a lot of those transfers that she's bringing in come from what, you know, quote unquote kill shelters. We don't call them that.
Right.
You and I have talked about this in depth,
Ted. The municipal shelters.
Yeah, because no one wants to euthanize for space.
Nope.
But
sure.
So,
they do not.
Yeah, by us intaking animals from them, you know, they can lower their euthanasia rates.
We're lifting the burden off of them. Like a good example would be a cat named Bones, who we came in as a request for a transfer from a local rural shelter. And Bones was only 6 pounds. She was nursing 5 kittens. We found that she had an injury to her leg, discovered it was a bullet wound that had fractured the bone. It was beyond repair. It was full of shrapnel. But our fantastic Locke Community Medical Center was able to amputate it, and Bones is now fully vetted and up for adoption. Well, her kittens also got the care that they needed, because Mama had to heal up and grow healthy,
sure.
And they will be available in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But a lot of municipal shelters, they wouldn't have been able to do that. This local shelter, they wouldn't. They don't have the funding, they don't have the resources, the animal care staffing, they don't have the amazing clinic that we do. Or the phenomenal foster base to help an animal like Bones and her kittens. So we take all of our life-saving partnerships very seriously. But it also means that we have a wait list for both intakes and other shelters, and the compounding housing crisis with double the amount of requests for intake is alarming.
I would think it would be alarming, especially, Ashley, when you're dealing with situations where you've got intake and you've got no more room.
Right.
And I guess that's where fosters do come in, that it can give you a little bit of, it gives you a little bit of breathing room
they
and a little bit
a
of
lot
confidence.
Of breathing room. I don't think we give enough credit to our fosters. They enable us to do the life-saving work that we do. Without them, we wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, we simply can't keep, we've talked about this in depth, cannot keep neonatal kittens, puppies. We can't keep unvaccinated animals within a communal environment like an animal shelter. So these kittens and puppies can't get vaccinated until they're certain weeks old. So they need to be away and safe, and they need to have, 24-hour care, or, a home environment with 24-hour care. They need all sorts of things that we can't accommodate in kennels at a shelter. Mm-hmm. A calm environment, less chaotic, just away from kind of like communal diseases and all sorts of stuff until they're vaccinated. And so to have 60% of our population right now in foster care is amazing. Mm-hmm. And that is mostly kittens.
Yep, all the kittens.
Boy, that shows, though, that you have that much, that the people are...
They show up.
They show up. And I know people that do the foster and just love it.
Yep.
They just love it.
It's fun because you have that temporary, companionship without the, 18 to 25-year commitment, right? So if you're in a situation right now where you're, you maybe not settling down in a home, you still want to travel, you're not ready to commit to adopt, fostering is a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about, you mentioned it just briefly, just a few minutes ago, that you do offer, there are a lot of helps involved for people that are fostering. If you need some helps with food or
that
kinds of things.
We provide all the stuff for foster care.
Yeah. Yep. So we provide the food, the supplies, we do training. We have a 24-hour helpline. We have the clinic. We cover all their medical. People are kind of afraid to foster because they're like, what if the animal gets sick? I can't afford that.
I just need you to come love the kitten.
Yeah. We're like, you just give them TLC and a couch to crash on, and, you can take all the cute photos and show them off. That's all we need.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ashley Lindbeck here from the Fredericksburg SPCA, the director of animal care. You never know from hour to hour, minute to minute, who's going to show up and what you're dealing with. In a lot of ways, you're a magician in a lot of ways.
I'm not a very good magician at that, then. It's a lot of juggling. I'll give you that. There's a whole lot of juggling. But yeah, we don't know what's going to show up at the door at any given moment. Hopefully it's things that we can help with, things that we can give them resources to keep them at home.
Well, and I know I think it was last year. Whenever there are hurricanes or things like that, you all are involved a lot of times in getting animals from some of these areas that experience weather disasters.
Yeah, we try to make sure that we factor that into our our year long goal because we know that the hurricanes are going to happen. So we try to make sure that we have space available to assist any of those places, Texas, Florida.
Yep. At our last week's meeting, I did warn them. I said, we're exactly 1 month away from hurricane season, so get ready.
Let's get going.
Hold on. So.
Well, and on top of all of this, because I had never, until we started talking about this and until you started talking about it today, Vaughn, just the whole housing situation is another layer of things. Whether we've talked before about how the economy has impacted people and just some of these other things. There really are a lot of, you've only got so much space.
Right. And I get a notification every time we get an owner surrender. So that's kind of why I wanted to start talking about this, was because in May, like Ashley said, the numbers doubled. So I just noticed, I was like, this is, I'm getting a lot of notifications.
Yeah.
And so I went and I looked in, and sure enough, we track, why, the reasons why and where they're coming from. And Yeah, the trend isn't slowing down. And, you know, we have a lot of great colleagues across the nation who we bump brains with and exchange information. And, it is a nationwide trend.
It is. Yet I do want to point out, so when we say living situation, that's not necessarily that they're getting kicked out or they are going to be homeless. It also pertains to, do they have the funds to care for these animals? You know, if I can't feed my cat, yeah, the responsible thing for me to do would be to find somebody that can feed my cat.
Sure.
So that's a huge factor as far as finances go, because the cost of living has gone up. There's no money to feed them if you don't have it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, this is a good opportunity to mention, if you want to volunteer, if you want to foster, if you want to get involved in some way, fredspca.org.
Yeah.
And look at the multiple ways and programs that are available.
Yes, absolutely. And we do have supports in place within our programs for people who can't afford pet food, for people who need just a little bit of food or supplies to get them through to payday. And Katie Bates will talk about that because she's the one that runs that program.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a break first and get into all of that. But again, there are, yeah, no, I've the room that you have, that you store a lot of the food, it just amazes me how big it is, how much stuff there is, and how quickly it goes out.
Oh yes, oh, fast. Yeah. It comes in and it goes right out. Yeah. So.
FredSPCA.org, again, the website to find out more information. Also follow them on Facebook. You can find out really what's going on in different events and activities, and a lot of events coming up too.
Yes.
In the next little bit this summer. Ashley Lindbeck is here. Von Young is here. Katie Bates here from the Fredericksburg SPCA. We'll continue along this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg SPCA, our focus this morning. Katie Bates is here along with Ashley Lindbeck and Von Young. FredSPCA.org. Also, you can follow them on Facebook. Von, talk to me about the again. This is a program I knew nothing about. This has been a show of just new information. just because the housing situation has been an eye opener. But talk about the program. It's the Pets Program, People Empowered Through Support Program. Pets.
Yeah, Pets. So when you hear us say Pets Program, it's an acronym for People Empowered Through Support. So you'll hear us refer to that throughout, you know, the day or on our website or wherever. And, you know, it was started by our previous deputy director, Dahlia Salah, and she was also the director of community advancement. So she was truly ahead of her time, you know, getting this program implemented and in place. She truly saw the benefit of keeping pets in homes rather than having them come to a shelter, because why do we want it? We don't, like I said, we don't want them.
Yeah.
you can put us out of business. That's okay, guys.
Like, yes, please. Yes, please.
So it started with the free pet pantry. So Katie's going to talk more about that. But it's not, you know, the pet pantry isn't something where they come and they get all their pet food. It's supplemental pet food. So, and then it expanded into funding for vet care, you know, when we had the grants to do so. And so we were really lucky to have these foundations already in place before COVID hit. We had this community program built. We, you know, didn't talk about it a lot because we can, still today, we can only do what's within our resources, and our resources are community-based. So we can only do with what we have. So if we don't have donations of food coming in so that we can give it out to people in need so that we can keep pets in homes, we don't have it. So the pet pantry is really dependent on the generosity of the public, local businesses. So we are so grateful to everyone who believes in the program and makes it possible so we can offer this community support.
So if I want to just give to the program, I can just drop by once a week or once a month and drop off food for you guys?
You could do it every day.
Every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's like by us helping people who are in a temporary situation, we're diverting the surrender of their animal. And that, in turn, helps lower euthanasia rates because then Ashley can say yes to taking an animal that's in a municipal shelter that might not have this second chance at life. So really, animal welfare, all of this help comes full circle within the animal welfare community. So with us, there is no, you know, do this or that for our shelter, but not the next shelter. We are very much like help any shelter, any rescue in the area.
Anybody.
We're
all
everyone.
On the same team.
It does seem like I've seen different examples of that or heard about that. That you do really. I mean, your whole goal is the pet and the family.
Yep.
No matter where they are or who they're with.
And I'm sure to be able to give some supplemental food to someone, that might be all that they need to get them through another week or so, and they can continue to keep their pet.
Yeah, we don't want people having to decide between paying their electric bill for the month or their dog or cat going hungry. It's just they're not bad pet owners. They're good pet owners because they want them to eat. So we want to help them out. And again, we don't want your animal. We don't have the room for your animal. So if we can help feed your animals so that you can keep them longer, 100%, we will help as much.
Boy, Kitty, you do have. I mean, I talked about Ashley being a magician. Same thing for you. I'm sure at times of trying to be able to juggle things and to provide for people and people. I mean, you're dealing with people in some really tough situations, I would think.
Yes, it's very. We all have very difficult positions, and there's so many moving parts. People who don't need food, but I'll leave and we'll go deliver. People who can't drive, they'll call in need of, not just food, but supplies, and I'll go and drop it off if I can. It's 100% donation based, so all the donations we can get is a huge, huge help. And then, it's a crisis right now.
Yeah, no, and if I can, this is the kind of situation I would think too, that if you're at the store and I'm buying things, and if I can double up on it and bring what I've got over to you.
Yes, our community is amazing. We have a donation rack right outside the door. We're open 7 days a week. It's a write off if you want to write off and give us a large donation, but it helps.
Yeah.
It's full circle. Clearance items, everything like that.
And like Katie said, we've expanded our pet pantry with the mobile meal delivery. So, if you have transportation or mobility issues, Katie will hop in the van and put you on the list to go deliver food. But she's really looking for a volunteer to help her with that. So she can process some more.
Yeah. When I started, we had about 22 on average a month sign up for the delivery. And now it's up 50 and more. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that. And
no.
We're doing everything else. So, any volunteers to help deliver.
And any Uber drivers that will volunteer their time?
I have two great ones that normally help out in certain routes, and I do there's so many that I have to do the different routes.
Yeah.
There's, King George, Caroline, Fredericksburg, Stafford, Spotsy.
Yep.
It takes a really long time, so, yeah.
You could volunteer to be our Muber.
Muber?
Oh, and a Meals on Wheels.
Wow, that's good, you guys. It took me a second. I'm trying to process all of this.
Mew.
That's a huge amount, though, for you to have to do.
Yeah, and that's just people who can't physically come and pick up from the pantry.
Yeah, so Katie's there how many days a week doing pet pantry?
Right now it's the first and second Saturday of the month from 10 to 2, and every Thursday 12 to 6.
Yeah, so when she's not giving food out, she's processing applications.
Yes, and
right.
The people who show up asking for help that just don't even know about the program but have finally resorted to coming and just showing up and asking if we can do anything for them.
Well, I would think, Katie, there are times that where you see a situation that you see that you're able to help people and what a great feeling. And then other times when you're not able to. Boy, I mean, there's a lot of ups and downs.
Oh, absolutely. So we have a program also in part of the Pets program. It's called our Safe Haven program. So that's helping people in vulnerable situations, like someone escaping domestic violence or facing homelessness or already homeless. most human shelters don't allow their pets to come with them. So we want to keep their pet if they can get out of a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
But again, this all boils down to the space that we have. As Ashley said, if we can't even, you know, take all the animals that we need, filling out rehoming situations and things like that, first thing I have to do is find out if we even have space to be able mm-hmm. to help this person out and take their animal in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And then figure out if they have the vaccines, and then get them vaccinated. And then we could take more of these animals and help more families if we build more fosters that are willing to take safe haven animals. And another benefit to that is obviously we provide everything, but usually there's not the risk of foster failing because
right. yeah.
we want this animal, the intention is the animal goes back and reunites with their yep. family.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we need safe haven fosters specifically. So you can go, if you go on our website to apply to be a foster and this speaks to you to foster an animal for our safe haven program, the goal is reuniting the animal. The person could be, you know, like Katie said, escaping a domestic violence situation or facing houselessness. The human shelters do not accept pets generally, so people will stay in a dangerous situation to stay with their pets. So we need fosters to put these pets in homes temporarily, let the human kind of get their situation set up, and then we reunite them. So we really need those fosters.
What a great program, though.
Yeah.
Because you don't, again, there's something you never think of.
No, we were able to help out a lot of people, and I would say about 75% of the animals that we've taken in the Safe Haven program have yeah. been reunited with their owners.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be a foster and really have a really, really have an impact on yeah. a family, not only the animal,
right.
a family.
Exactly.
That look for the Safe Haven foster, because that in I, you know, like anything, I mean, the time that you're there would, you know, it obviously varies, but what a great chance.
Yeah, and right now we have zero spaces yep. for Safe Haven. We don't have any space.
Yeah. Our goal is four.
Yeah, four kennels usually, or four spots.
Okay.
And right now we are full. We don't have any more spots for Safe Haven. So we do need those fosters desperately.
So if you want to do that, sign up to be a...
Yes.
100%. Sign up. And again, that, it's like, I guess Katie, it's like with Ashley, to know that you've got some people, you know, in the pipeline waiting and available.
Yes.
Gives
yes.
you some, when someone comes, you're able to say, we've got somebody for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, and our foster coordinator, she's amazing. She, if it's a really, really bad situation and we have absolutely no space, she'll start contacting the foster mm-hmm. community that we have to, you know, try to help out this family if it's, you know, an emergency situation.
It's a good point that, like, all of these programs that we talk about are created, run, and everything by usually one person.
Yep.
So Katie's alone.
There's only one of us for every department.
Katie's alone. Jackie, our foster coordinator, is one person
yeah.
coordinating all of these, you know. And so we're so grateful when our community does step up into these roles. It really alleviates some of the burden of the requests that we get of us saying no, or we can't do this now. You know, Ashley often has a 4-week wait list for intakes. So, and yep. that's just because our capacity for care. So,
4 weeks.
Yeah. If we had unlimited supplies and unlimited fosters and everything was magical, we would have no wait. But yeah, generally, especially during these summer months, there is a wait list, and you know, it's one staff member kind of doing what they can do. And that's not, you know, just the Fredericksburg SPCA.
That's everywhere. That's mm-hmm. animal welfare.
Yeah, you're any shelter you go to. A lot of rescues are foster based and volunteer based. So, you know, people are doing what they can with what they can. So, we're very thankful for everybody's hard work and investment into our people and our programs.
So if you can adopt, if you can foster, you can volunteer, you can drop off food. They're just really that's you go to Fred SPCA and you'll see a lot of these opportunities.
Yeah, anything you want. Like our biggest thing right now, we need adopters adopt, adopt, adopt. We need to move some of these animals. And that's, again, everywhere. The shelter's filling up. We really want to get animals into homes. So, you know, we have several adoption specials that are always going on. We always have a fee-waived pet of the month that we feature. So we started last month. We're doing one cat and one dog pet of the month. So right now, the pet of the month dog has been adopted. Yay. So we're so happy for Elvis. He is now in a home. Ravioli is our fee-waived kitty of the month. And you can find her online. Find her on our Facebook. But we also have other things. You know, we have several fee-waived animals. We have adopt one, get one free of bonded pairs. We have reduced fee seniors. And additionally, we've expanded our partnership with Pets for Patriots. So instead of 20% off of adoptions, veterans can now adopt 100% fee waived animals. Now, it's important to note that this is not one of our programs. It is a partnership. Mm-hmm. So veterans do have to apply to Pets for Patriots through their website. And then once they're approved, they'll bring in the letter to us and we'll help connect them with a new companion, and it'll be 100% fee waived. So we've got many opportunities for adoption. We want to get these animals into homes. And it, like you said, if you're unable to adopt, there's other ways to make a positive impact. We always need donations. We always need volunteers, like for mobile meal deliveries. You can come to our events. Like you said, we've got so many events.
Yeah.
We've got puppy yoga this Saturday. We've still got a few tickets for.
We do still have puppy yoga.
Yeah.
What is puppy yoga?
Well, it's exactly
what it sounds like.
We're
more
doing
puppies, less yoga. Really.
Yeah, more puppies, less yoga.
There is some yoga. There's some yoga. It's more like Twister. Like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We do have. Over so we puppies. Have a wonderful Jamie Gibbons is our yoga instructor.
Yeah.
She comes out and she will, you know, do mindfulness and breathing and wonderful intro to yoga in our play yard. And you will attempt to do it while we have 11 puppies running around you and causing a bit of chaos.
Hence Twister.
Yeah, it's Twister.
But the puppies will be adoptable and it is a lot of fun.
Yes.
You also get a snuggle session, a 30-minute. The puppy yoga is an hour long and then you get your 30-minute snuggle session. So take a bunch of photos and convince your spouse or parents to adopt in that 30-minute window.
Lots of time.
FredSPCA.org for more information. We're talking Fredericksburg SPCA this morning. We'll wrap this up when we come back with Katie Bates, Ashley Lindbeck, and Von Young. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with the Fredericksburg SPCA. Von Young here, Katie Bates here, and Ashley Lindbeck. I guess the big takeaway from all of this, Von, is just there are lots of needs right now in the community with all you guys, and a lot of ways that you can help. Whether it's fostering, whether it's the safe haven foster, especially that we've talked about, or food donations. Just a lot of ways that we can all get involved.
Yes, and if you look at it from the 30,000 foot view, it's very overwhelming and you feel like nothing you do is going to kind of make an impact, but every little bit helps.
I mean, it can be a little thing, even if you can just help Katie with delivering
things. A
6-pound
bag of meal mix while you're at Food Lion, stuff it in there. Like the 6 pounds, that's phenomenal to us.
Yeah, if your animal, you know, is picky about food and they didn't like the couple cans of tuna, salmon, kangaroo mix that you bought, drop them off to us. Yeah. We'll take them. Like,
you got four cans? I'm good.
Yeah. Yes. It all makes an impact because sometimes our shelves are bare and we just are looking for that extra couple of cans. So
So nothing is too small.
No,
if it's just a couple
small
of cans or something.
Yep.
The other thing is every time I'm over there, the washing machine is on. Every single time. I've never been over there and not seen it running.
I haven't figured out a way.
If you want to donate a commercial size washing machine,
there you go.
Animal Care would certainly appreciate it.
Yes.
And a volunteer to put the dirty laundry in there.
Yeah, every time I walk by, the machine is going. So, you know, even staff volunteers will walk by and poke our head in and see if the washer stops.
Yeah.
So we can move it to the dryer quickly. So, yeah, it is. It's a puzzle. If it's not the washer, it's the dishes. So we haven't figured out a way to stop animals from, you know, peeing, pooping, and eating. So.
Rude.
So lots of opportunities. And this has been a great show just to show and just the issues out there. We started the show, Vaughn, just talking about housing and how people looking for housing run into either waits or a lot having to pay deposits and paying more for housing than they may have expected.
Yeah, and it's like Ashley said, it's not just housing. You know, the cost of living has just gone up for everybody, and you know, that necessarily doesn't mean wages have gone up, so people are finding themselves in a situation where, you know, belts are getting tighter. So it all kind of comes full circle. So, you know, we started this by saying what happens within our community happens within animal welfare. So it's the same thing.
Yeah. We should mention too that there are some big events. I mean, you've got some big events coming up real soon.
We have our birthday bash with B101 and PBM coming up in July.
That's 80 years.
80 years, yeah. So we'll be having a big birthday at the Fred SPCA, and all our programs will be on site to give you information, help you sign up. We'll have some fee-waived adoptions, thanks to PBM. B101 will be there. We will have, you know, it's going to be a great time. And then to keep that celebration going, we are going into our 80-year anniversary fur ball, which is going to be celebrating by, it's going to be 80-themed, so the 80s. It is our 8th fur ball, yeah. So a lot of 8s. It's going to be a lot of fun.
A rootin' tootin' good time.
Wrong decade. it's going to be totally rad, dude.
Totally rad.
FredSPCA.org for all the information. Thanks for what you guys all do, because, I mean, you guys are at the front lines in all of this and in making things happen. So thank you so much to Katie Bates, People Empowered Through Support, the Pets Program, Ashley Lindbeck with the Director of Animal Care, and Vaughn Young. Thank you for what you all do. We'll see you all soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.